Ladies and gentlemen, now hosting the RizzoCast, put your hands together for Steven Risotto!
What's going on, everybody, and welcome. My name is Steven Risotto. I cover the San Francisco Giants for SFA, and I'm the host of RizzoCast, a podcast that features current and former big league players, coaches, fans, media, and others who are regarded as some of the brightest minds around the game of baseball. We are coming to you from the podcast studio inside the Golden Gate Express podcast studio at San Francisco State University. Today's guest is Luke Hill, the shortstop for the University of Mississippi and top prospect for the 2025 MLB draft. Luke was the everyday shortstop last season for the ASU Sun Devils as a freshman. Gotta take out my piece of gum here. Hitting 314 with six homers, 42 RBIs, and a 389 on base percentage. He was named All Pac-12 honorable mention and was awarded ASU's Defensive Player of the Year for his elite glove work at shortstop. Hill entered the transfer portal after the season and committed to play at Ole Miss, a closer school to home. We talk about his upcoming sophomore season, entering the transfer portal, improving his game, learning the mental side of baseball, gaining motivation, supporting nonprofits. That's a pretty cool story. Can't wait for you to hear that. Growing a passion for the game as a kid, Super Bowl predictions, maybe some Taylor Swift, the Dodgers offseason, much more. He's a big Dodger fan. This is episode number 162. Got a full season of RizzoCast. Let's get started.
Alrighty, and we are back on RizzoCast with Luke Hill, and Luke is nice enough to hop on the podcast. Luke, thanks for coming on, man. Welcome.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. It's a blessing. Thank you.
Absolutely. And before we get into anything baseball related, I have to mention that it is Super Bowl week for the listeners out there. And of course, we'll talk about, I guess, the matchup in just a second. But I know you're a pretty big Houston Texans fan, Luke, if I'm mistaken. And CJ Stroud and company led them to their first playoff appearance in, like, probably what, since 2019?
2019, when we beat the Bills, I want to say, when we had Deshaun Watson, I think is the last time we had that. Yeah, that's when we beat the Bills up 24-0 versus the Chiefs, and just it was downhill from there ever since. But we're back, I think.
Yeah, give me kind of your, like, overall thoughts on how the season went and you watching football this year.
It was really, I wouldn't say inspiring, but it felt really good to, like, kind of get back into the NFL. I'm always a big NFL guy. I mean, I play Madden, and then we all do fantasy sports and stuff, but, like, it's not the same when your team isn't all, like, when you check, like, you're going to watch the game, you try and watch the games, and you know your team's going to lose. This year, you know, we opened, I mean, it was Stroud. I wanted Stroud out of the draft. I was like, I was really happy that we got him. And I was really excited when we got Will Anderson traded up for him. But yeah, we started off 0-2, but finished off 10-7. So, I mean, it was awesome being able to, like, watch games and knowing, like, their offense is pretty good and they're going to put up a lot of points. So it was really fun, but I wish we beat the Ravens, but, you know, successful year. I think they have the offensive rookie of the year, the defensive rookie of the year, and hopefully coach of the year too. So
yeah,
it was a good year for the Texans.
Great year for the Texans, and they're not going away. CJ Stroud's definitely a stud. Now just to get into, you know, this matchup coming up this Sunday for the Super Bowl, and I'm in the Bay Area right now, so everything that I'm hearing on my end is definitely 49ers noise. But who do you have in this game? Who do you have winning this game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers? Because it's bound to be a pretty good one.
If I was a betting man, I don't know. I'm gonna go with the 49ers. I think the 49ers are gonna win. I think they have way too many weapons on offense, but mainly it's, I just don't want Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift to win. I do not want that to happen. That, like, they show Taylor Swift on TV every 5 seconds now. So I hope the 49ers win, and I think they will win too. So I think they'll come out on top.
Okay. You led me into my next question. I was going to ask you about that. No joke. The Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. And it's basically what's the talk of the NFL for a little bit. I mean, what do you just like, do you, is it good for football that this is happening? Because I know there's a lot of people that are very territorial about their sport. Then there's a lot of people that are more open-minded about it. Like, what do you think about this whole dynamic about Taylor Swift and all the attention she's getting in football?
I don't think they meant any harm out of it. It's just like they both have really, for lack of a better word, rich personalities, as in not like money in any ways. I mean, like they have really outgoing personalities both.
Funny too, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that too, but we're not talking about that. They have really outgoing personalities, and like when you have two people like that and, you know, they have their own fan bases and they're two completely different fan bases as well. I think it's a fire waiting to just explode. So I don't know. I'm not personally the biggest fan of it. Cool that they're dating. I just wish they would keep the Taylor Swift music stuff out of the football stuff as well. Cause like when I'm watching CBS, I want to watch football. I'm not trying to watch Taylor Swift's next album. That's just me though. That's just me.
Yeah. Again, to each their own. I don't know what the right answer is either. I think it's a pretty interesting and kind of funny debate that's going on, and I guess we're going to see it at the Super Bowl, right? I mean, if the Chiefs win, then it's going to be amplified even more. But if the Chiefs lose, like, are they going to give the camera shot like right after the game to Taylor Swift in her suite?
What's going to happen is if the Chiefs win, they're going to win. They're going to video Mahomes first. Then they're going to do the coaches meeting at the no. They're going to do the coaches meeting at the middle. Mahomes. Then they're going to do the Gatorade shower thing, the Gatorade. And immediately after that, it's going to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen, I think.
That's not a bad suggestion. And for all those like parlay dudes out there or anybody.
Oh my, they could. Yeah. I saw something on Instagram the other day. Cause I follow like ESPN and Bleacher Report and all that stuff. Bleacher Report came out with this thing. It's like, will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? I was like, there's no way you can bet on this. Like that's crazy.
And like the other team or the other thing is like Travis Kelce wants to be known as a team guy, and the least team guy thing that you could possibly do after winning a Super Bowl is proposing
to your
superstar, you know, girlfriend. That would take all the attention off of the game. People wouldn't even
No one would care about the Super Bowl at that point. Yeah. I just feel like you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. That would be known as I think it will be known as a Taylor Swift Super Bowl, but
yeah,
wild stuff. But I had to ask, had to see what your thoughts were. All right, baseball time. Let's get into some baseball. Cool. You spent the 2023 season as the everyday shortstop at Arizona State, and then you entered the transfer portal and have now landed at the University of Missouri, Ole Miss. The season about to get underway, I guess, a week from Friday, if I'm not mistaken, against Hawaii. Mm-hmm. What is one thing, I guess, that you're looking forward to as you get kind of settled with this new group of players?
I just want to like take the feel with the guys. Like we've already done it in the fall and stuff, like full jerseys and all that stuff. So that was pretty cool. But like, I can't wait to like fully like step on that field. Like it's game one, like let's go. Like there's no kidding around anymore. There's no like, oh, the season's like 10 days. There's no countdown. Like it's go time. And everyone's starting to feel it around the clubhouse. I think I feel it. I wouldn't say I'm anxious. I would say I'm more so excited. Like I'm not really nervous about anything. I'm just really excited to get out there and play. And I'm looking forward to it big time. It's going to be amazing. I think things will be a really big year for us. Now, of course, everyone says that, but you know, like this year, like I feel something really different. I feel like we're going to be a pretty good squad and make a run at this thing. So hopefully pray and hopefully everything pans out that way.
Yeah, and you've been committed for you know, a few months now. Obviously, it's been a while. And what was the off season like? Kind of taking in a lot of the reaction, and also, you know, riding on that high, but also having to go into kind of a normal off season with your training and everything. How did that kind of transition go?
So at the beginning of the summer, I mean, Arizona State didn't make the tournament, whatever. So we kind of got home early, and it was like good for me to kind of get home. I was 22 hours away from home, you know, never really got to visit home. So I was like, kind of enjoyed being home. You know, it was really upsetting not going because I mean, like you see the guys that are on TV playing, you're like, dang, like we played those guys. We beat those guys. Like, come on. But when it came to like training stuff, I always put my head down and worked and all that stuff, but it definitely was a test to like my mind and mental side as well as like, cause in the back of my mind, I was like, am I going to leave? Are we going to do this thing? Like, what if I switch schools? And then I ended up switching schools. And immediately after that, it's like, okay, now I'm actually switching schools. Let's figure out what school we're going to go to. You're also got to get your work in, like, because just because you're in the transfer portal doesn't mean, you know, you're going to make it. Like, you got to keep your head down working and stuff like that, manage all your other stuff, you know. So it was a test, but I mean, I feel like I succeeded. So yeah.
And last year was kind of like a really magical year in a lot of ways. Played every game as a freshman and, you know, hit over 300, six homers, 11 doubles, all the numbers mixed in, all the multi-hit games, the Pac-12 honorable mention, and the defensive player of the year at ASU. And also in the process of that, kind of cementing yourself as like a legitimate national prospect. And I guess all that said, is there anything in particular that you worked on this off season that maybe was a little lacking or dragging a little bit behind that you kind of wanted to tighten up for this first season at Ole Miss?
So for me, my biggest thing was my mindset, like maturity wise. And it sounds very cliche, but like that my total body, like, so for I'll explain, like my mind, like last year, I wasn't as mentally strong as I needed to be. I let some things get to me that, like, come on, like, you're gonna make a mistake. You're gonna strike out twice in a game. You're gonna go hitless. Like I started off really, really well. Great. It's awesome. I love starting off really well, but you know, at the same time, you're a freshman. Like, you're gonna go through those freshman slumps. You look up at the board after 3 weeks, I'm hitting 560, and then 3 weeks later, you're hitting 330. You're like, what the heck just happened? You're in a big slump, and you kind of let those things get to you. But you know, my biggest mindset kind of switch over the summer was like, it is what it is. Like, you got, like, if you're looking at the result more so than the process, you're never going to be happy with yourself. Like, you're never going to be content. So at some point, yes, of course, never be satisfied, but you also need to be realistic and be like, all right, like, I'm doing well, like, I'm working hard, just be true to yourself. And then body wise, last year I was not healthy, like, at all when it comes to, like, my muscles are fine. You know, I had like a mess, like a hurt knee and like a hurt shoulder, but that's whatever. Like, you go through nicks and pains throughout the season, but I was not like, I was like maybe like 180 last year. I'm like 195, 198 right now. I probably have on the scale right now, I'm probably about 196. So my physical stature, my physical build, the health, my mobility, all that stuff has been like, it's been night and day compared to like last year. So like this year, like I want to hit more than six homers. Like, I want to have like, heck, if I could hit 30, I wish I could, but really, see, it's not gonna happen. But you know, I want to like double those homers and stuff like that. But it starts with the frame that you're at. So I was at like 180 last year, which is a terrible weight for me. I got sick, got down like 175. That's like a 20-pound difference we're talking about right now. And you know, I feel better than ever. The weight program here is amazing. So I feel like I'm in really good shape. So those are the two biggest things I feel like, you know, changed.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned like kind of being in the right headspace, and you know, you said that maybe you weren't mentally as strong as you could have been, and I find that interesting because if there's something, you know, mechanically, usually, you know, if a guy has trouble going to his backhand, then he'll work on that all winter, and if a guy has trouble with his swing, he'll work on that all winter. But how do you go forth with kind of working on your mind during the off season when there's maybe, you know, not a lot of baseball? Is it kind of more time to yourself to think about stuff, or how do you train your mind?
So for me, I have to have my alone time, not in a bad way, but in like a sense of sometimes after practice, it is best for me to, I'll go eat with my friends, have a good time with them, but I need a detox from everything, like social media, all that stuff. And I'm a victim to it. I'm on my phone a lot. But you know, having that time where you just sit on the couch, you know, sit there, eat snacks, eat popcorn, watch a movie, watch Netflix, watch YouTube, do whatever. Just having that time to yourself for me really helped me kind of like find like kind of who I was, for lack of a better word, soul searching. And when it comes to also baseball, one thing that really helped, like, I thought I was like doing really well in the summer, but like, so, like hiccups, you know, stress, all that stuff with entering the portal, social media, all that stuff kind of put a bump in the road. But here, like, kind of my teammates honestly helped me the most. Like, I don't even know if they meant to do it. I don't know. But when it came to a performance side of things, like, I don't mean it in an ego way, but you have to like think that, you know, I'm going to do me. Like, I have expectations for myself, and I believe I've worked hard enough and I'm good enough to meet them. And whatever happens, happens. Like, it is what it is. Like the other night, like, we had a scrimmage. Like, I felt great. Whatever. The pitchers did well. 1-for-4, 3 Ks. Stuff happens. Like, last year, like, I would have gone home, watched the video. I would have been freaking out. I've been like, what is wrong? Like, what am I doing? I would have let it get to me, and it could have just rippled on over to the next weekend. But here, it's like, oh, goodness. Well, you can still see me. I'll go turn this on. But this year, it's like, okay, that moved. This year, it's like, it is what it is. You know, you work hard, you're a good player, you know, have that mindset of like, you're good and just keep working and stuff like that. So turn around the next day, flush it, forget it, and perform the next day. And that's what happened. So I feel like that's helped me a lot, like, in a sense now going into the season. So I'm in a really good headspace. Confidence is through the roof, peace of mind and everything. So yeah.
Yeah, flush it. Like, I think we undervalue how important the term flush it is, because, you know, I played all through high school as a PO. Shout out to POs out there. and like, that's the one thing that you would hear, like, after you give up 3 runs in an inning, it's like, flush it. And then I don't think we realize that that's literally what you have to do.
You have to get, like, you just gotta let it go. You, like, if you, the immediate second that it starts getting in your head, it starts rippling, you might as well just, except you're just going to mess up again.
Yeah. Sounds like a cliche, but it's not.
Yeah, it's just cliche. And then another thing, we, like, as a team, we do like these like mental health things. Like, we'll like watch these like Brian Cain videos. Like, the one that like I like the most was, like, even though he does repeat himself a lot, but the one thing I like the most was thoughts become things. Like, if you think something, like, it's going to happen. Like, you talk to the best players in baseball, they visualize everything. They visualize themselves hitting a homer. They visualize this, they visualize that. And I've visualized and I've done great. But when I visualize I'm going to strike out, I'm going to strike out. Like, it's a direct correlation, in my opinion. And kind of that, those two things, it is what it is, flush it, and thoughts become things. Those are two big things that, you know, have helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back real quick to the transfer portal. Kind of an interesting process. There's a lot of players that, you know, are constantly using it nowadays, mm-hmm. probably now more than ever. And after this year at ASU, why did you feel like it was the right move to head to Ole Miss? What was intriguing about that transition?
For me, it was more so like, I'm from the South. Arizona State was a complete culture shock. Like, I mean, complete culture shock. Let me do this. All right. You still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Complete culture shock. 22 hours from home. I mean, you could barely watch the games. Even when we had a ranked matchup, it was like you're watching it on a toaster. I want my mom to be able to watch my games. I want my mom to be able to come to my games. It's something that means a lot to me. I'm not saying this in a bad way. Other people might not value that as much. That's something that I value a lot. And it's just simple like that. Like, when people talk about like the NIL landscape and all that stuff, like, yeah, cool. So what? Like, that's not a big deal in my opinion, because at the end of the day, like, I'm here to play. Like, I want to play baseball. I want to play in the best conference. I want to be close to home. I want to do everything. I want my parents to be able to see me do what I love doing. And I feel like doing it at Ole Miss or somewhere else in the South was the best option. And Ole Miss happened to be the best option. I love it. And it's been the best decision I've ever made.
There's a lot of people that are unaware of like the transfer portal process. Mm-hmm. So take us through kind of your experience and like how that entire process went down, like from A to B. How do you get into the transfer portal? Like, I always thought of it as like a little bubble of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the transfer portal is. Tell us what it is.
Okay. So I entered like the day before. I entered very late. But so what you do is you go on this, like, you have like these team transfer apps. I don't know how to explain it. It's like where they send you documents where you could fill out like your paperwork, your health, stuff, like just for college, like simple getting into college stuff. And they have that for athletes as well. And they also have a sheet of transfer form or something like that. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this thing. So getting in the portal was relatively easy. It was stressful because I thought I wasn't going to be able to get in. I thought my compliance was going to mess around on purpose. So I had to stay, but they didn't, thank goodness. So I got in the portal relatively easy, but everything went haywire when you're like actually officially in the portal. I remember I was like taking a nap and my name officially entered the portal and I just hear my phone start blowing up, like just like that. Just calls, calls, calls. I thought like in high school, I wish I was a bigger recruit. Like I was like, dang, that's kind of cool. Like if I get a call from Ole Miss and Alabama and LSU and all that stuff, that's pretty sick. That's awesome. But when it all happens in one day, I hated it. I could not stand it. It was the worst. It was the worst thing ever. Now, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just like, it's stressful.
Yep.
Like it all hits you at once. You got, for example, you got team A calling you and then you miss team B, C, and D. And then you call team B after you're done with team A and you still have to call C and D and then E, F, and G a call. So it's just like, you just got to call all these people. And my mind was completely open though. I would have preferred, now I can say I would prefer to text to see who you were at first. So I can kind of know who I'm talking to, not just pick up the phone and it could be Florida or it could be Northwestern. Like I would never know, but I wish like a text, but it was stressful. But at the end of it, it was very relieving knowing that I ended up being able to choose Ole Miss and at the state that we're at, and I don't see it changing. It's been probably the best decision of my life coming here.
We're going to take a break on RizzoCast, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, RizzoCast listeners, how you enjoying the show so far? If you are enjoying the content and want more RizzoCast, please make sure to subscribe and leave a review on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We're also on social media, so follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at RizzoCast. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really cool that you're able to kind of be closer than 22 hours from
oh my God. Yeah. 22 hours from home is crazy.
Yeah. That must've been crazy. Mm-hmm. And I know you're probably a little tired of hearing about this cause it happened in July, but you know, your old manager at ASU had, I guess, some parting words and that a lot of your teammates kind of quote felt like they were going to be better off without him.
Yeah.
And the attitude you showed at times, or he showed at times, is what he said. And you probably, you know, clarified these quotes before, but I do want to give you the floor once again to kind of clear some things. And when you hear something like this, like what could possibly be going through your mind when you hear a quote like that?
So for me, when I was talking about in the summer, like when I first heard that low-key messed me up. I was like, dang, like they hate me. Like there's no way. Mm-hmm. That kind of messed with me for a little bit. I was not in the best state of mind, but kind of in the summer, like I literally had like half my team text me. They're like, I have like, that was never said. You don't need to worry about it. And now I can say it now. It's kind of funny. Like now, like throughout the fall, like I've had like old teammates text me and be like, yo, like we kind of miss you. Like it's ironic. I mean, it's crazy. I don't mean that in an egotistical way, but I mean, like I thought I would have helped that team this year. Like I thought I would have, but I mean, according to their coach, I guess I wouldn't have, but you know, I don't really pay attention to them. I don't mean it's in a disrespectful way, but I don't really pay attention to the opinions of people I don't take advice from. So, I mean, it's how it is. The past is the past. Stuff happens. I think he got caught up in the moment and I forgive him for what he said, but I've had teammates text me. It's just not right. And then I've had my coaches here tell me, yeah, we kind of could tell that he was wrong within the first 10 minutes of talking to you. So, you know, I work hard to, you know, make sure I'm the best teammate I can be. You know, it's something that I take pride in, especially after that. I wanted to make sure, you know, I'm all bought in. I don't want to – the last thing you ever want as a player is you don't want to be a cancer to a team. So, you know, I work hard at that every day, and I just be myself in it. And I believe I'm a great teammate. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, you're a friend of the show and your former teammate, we know Owen Stevenson loves you probably. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Shout out to Owen.
Yeah, shout out Owen.
Had to give that shout out there. Mm-hmm. And also like, you know, stuff like that, I'm sure could, in a weird way, like play to your advantage. Like it's not like you have an entire crew that like hates you or anything, but like adding motivation is like never a bad thing. So do you
Yeah,
have,
that
is
was
that something that like playing with a chip on your shoulder, maybe
yeah,
it's
that
like
was I would say more so now it helps me more as a person than a baseball player. But when it first happened, it was made like, oh my, I was that flipped a switch. And to be honest with you, I feel like I've adapted to it. So that switch is still like flipped on, but I'm not as aware of it anymore because I've gotten so used to it, like work ethic wise and stuff. But I took offense to that. Like if someone came out and publicly bashed you on Twitter and it got like over 500,000 views, like, I mean, that's gonna motivate, that motivated me. I feel like it'd motivate other people. So more so now it motivates me to be the best person I can be towards anyone, especially as a teammate as well. You buy into this thing with, I think we have like 45 guys on the team. I don't know the exact number. You buy in with these 45 guys and you go to work and be the best teammate you can be. So yeah, it flipped a switch. I want to be the best teammate I can be. And I think I've done an amazing job of that. And I'll keep it up. So yeah.
Yeah, so if I go out right now and publicly bash you, and then you're gonna hit your 30. So like that's
Yeah, I'll hit my 30.
what's gonna
I'll
happen.
love every bit of that. I'll hit my 30.
Absolutely. And kind of adding on to that, there's a large majority of people in the baseball world that, obviously see you as a top pick, I guess, a few years from now. And be honest, do you listen to any of that noise? Does that ever enter through your head, or is it just not even a thought?
I pay attention to it a little bit. I think if you, I think anyone that tells you they don't is lying to you. But I don't do it in an egotistical way. I do it as in like a, no matter what they say, they're disrespecting me. Like they'll say the good, and immediately after there's the bad. The good, irrelevant to me. Like you can hit, congrats, you can hit. What I want to see what you say, I can do bad, and I want to show you that you are wrong. And of course, there's everything that I can improve on, a ton of stuff. I can always improve even on stuff that I'm good at. But I look at it as in a sense of like what they think I need to work on, and I'll be like, fine, I'll show you that I can do it. And I use it to my motivation every single day. It's something the immediate second I walk into this facility, I work on it. But on the other side of it, when I walk in this facility, that ranking does not matter. Because at the end of the day, I have to hit, I have to play, and I have to do well. Not like when you're playing, let's say Hawaii, when we open up versus Hawaii, they're not going to be like, oh, he's this, and this. They're going to be like, okay, he's a shortstop. Congrats. Who cares? Go hit. If we get you out, we get you out. It doesn't matter what your ranking is. I couldn't tell you what my ranking is. I really couldn't tell you. I just hope I'm towards the top. Of course, I mean, it'd be a dream come true, but that's their opinion. I use it to my motivation. So I work on it every day. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that I learned about you, I guess, through the process of like preparing for this is the different donations that you're planning to make to, Folds of Honor, which is a nonprofit that helps families of fallen disabled service members. And you're pledging, I think it was $13 per hit,
Yes.
$250 per homer, $500 per for seventh homer, and then $1,000 for a grand slam. And then on the flip side, you're donating $7 per out made, and then $14 per double play to the Children's Hospital of Mississippi. So why are these two issues, I guess, first Folds of Honor and then the Children's Hospital, why are those two issues something that, you're passionate about and you feel the need to maybe pitch in where you can?
For me, as a family thing, my family's always kind of been in the military. My dad did it, my grandfather did it, my great grandfather did it. They wanted me to do it, but it wasn't something that, I don't mean in a disrespectful way, it's something I didn't want to pursue. I didn't feel it fitted me. It was actually the first school I ever visited. The first school I ever visited was Army at West Point. So it kind of always has been a part of me. And I saw Paul Skeens do it last year. And this year, I'm given the foundation and being fortunate enough to be able to do things like that. So I wanted to donate to Folds of Honor. I think it was a great idea. It's not completely my idea. Someone else started it, but I'm going to carry it over. I think I can make a donation as well. And I think that's amazing for the community. And then for me, for the Jackson Hospital, like I see that, like when I was younger, I did the Miracle League stuff. I see the look in the kids' eyes, like they look at us Like we're superheroes. Like they love us. I don't mean it's like they look up to us. I don't mean that in a bad way, but like they take a lot and they look up to us at the end of the day. So being able to give to that, being able to donate to that kind of for a bigger cause in yourself, rather than just, spending it, whatever, like you're giving it to a great cause. You're giving it to people that deserve it. You're giving it to people that work hard and stuff like that. And they look up to you. So kind of donating those two things it's been something that I kind of, take inspiration in. I inspire other people to do it as well.
So if you hit your 30, I don't know if you see that.
Right, that's cool. That's a pretty big number. That's pretty cool, to be honest with me.
7,500. No, that's pretty awesome, man. And that's
Yeah.
really awesome that you're giving back to your community like that. And and mentioned that you're from the South, Baton Rouge guy. And I guess from the beginning, how did you get involved with baseball, and why was that something that you became passionate about?
So for me, my parents, they wanted me to keep me safe from, all the outside noise. You kind of how I understand the world is now. You can get into a lot of trouble really fast at especially a young age, and kind of sports and clubs and all that stuff was my way of getting out of it. Now, granted, I was fortunate enough to live in a great community, went to a great school, had a great friend group, great influences all around me. So it's nothing to do with that, but you can never be too safe with it as well. So that's how I started with baseball. I started at about 4 or 5 years old, something like that. I remember playing for the Acers when I was young, and coaches pitch, T-ball, all that stuff. Playing catch with my dad, that was probably something that I wish I could do every day. But I mean, I think his arm is starting to fall off after the BP's thrown me and all the grounders he's hit and all that stuff. But yeah, so I started around like 4 or 5 years old and just took off from there. And I've always loved it. I played other sports a little bit. I played football a little bit in middle school and basketball a little bit in middle school, but I wasn't really as good at basketball. And then my parents, once they saw a future in baseball, they wanted me to stop. I tried to play my junior and senior year, but my coach didn't let me because he was a football and baseball coach. I kind of wish he let me, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. So yeah, that's kind of how I started off with baseball.
Do you ever see those videos where it's like baseball players are good at every sport? And like, it's true. It like really is true. Like a baseball player can like do well at the 3-point line. A baseball player could like throw a football well.
Yeah.
Coming from other sports, they can't do what baseball players do and hit 95 with
No.
movement.
No,
So.
I think it's because we work on our bodies so much, and the things that we do are also kind of relative to other sports as well. Like, football and basketball is not really too rotational, so it's a little bit different. I feel like it's a completely whole different side of the spectrum. So yeah, I feel like we're pretty good at everything. I like to think we are. Now, granted, we would not be able to compete with college basketball players. They would smoke us. But we can go into the rec and play with some random frat guys and compete pretty well. So I think we could beat them.
Yeah, I think so too. A few more things here before we wrap.
Yeah.
Big Dodger fan. You mentioned that before we started recording, but I guess what do you think about this monster off season that they've had? I mean, we're recording this on the 6th. Kershaw signed earlier today. We've seen Yamamoto, Ohtani,
Teoscar
Teoscar
Hernandez,
Hernandez. I mean, the list just goes on. What do you think about this?
Glasnow,
Last up, friend of the show, Tyler Glasnow
seriously,
came on the pod. He
that
did.
is awesome.
He
So
did.
okay, funny thing about Tyler Glasnow, I thought it was funny. So someone sent me a picture of his Instagram from 100, and this was like 5 weeks ago, probably about a month and a half ago. He sent me a picture of his Instagram from at that time. It said 103 weeks ago. It was a comment. And I said, Dodgers need you now. Please come. It was like 103 weeks ago. And then now he's on the Dodgers and it's awesome. So that's awesome. But
SoCal guy too.
I'm pumped for it. I'm pumped for it. I think I'm gonna be completely honest. We're going all in right now. The Ohtani thing, that's pretty, the contract, all the details and all that stuff, it's sick. But I think I saw a stat the other day. I did a little bit of research, not too much because I'm no Ken Rosenthal, but I pay attention to it a little bit. But like for attendance, the biggest thing, like how the Dodgers have so much money, is they average about 6,000 to 7,000 more fans per game than the next closest team. And the average ticket cost is $171. So over the course of a year, that's like over like $90 to $95 million solely off of tickets. And that $95 million difference can solely pay for the next, like, however long we have them for the next 5, 6 years. I know we have Teoscar for like one, but you can pay for Ohtani, you can pay for Freeman, you can pay for Betts, you can pay for Yamamoto, and you can pay for Glasnow. Like, you can pay for all those guys solely off of ticket sales that are extra. So that's pretty cool, I think. But I think it's a little bit of an advantage, but I'm all for it because we get them. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna stop tooting their horn. We need to start winning in the playoffs rather than just getting there. Like, getting swept to the Diamondbacks, that is completely unacceptable. What is going on? And the thing that made me the most mad was the day after. I was already upset. I walk in, and so Lance Lynn's throwing game three for the Dodgers. First person I see on the wall here is Lance Lynn because he went here. And I wanted to punch the wall. I was so mad. I was like, no, just get him out of my face right now. But I think it was a pretty successful offseason. I forgot who we traded, but who we traded him for. But we just traded Michael Busch, who's a really good third baseman slash second baseman prospect. So kind of sucks to lose him, but we kind of have a super team right now. So hopefully it pays out.
Yeah, 44 homers that Lance Lynn allowed last year. So
Ugh.
the Ole Miss alumni.
Oh,
Yeah, no, they're someone that covers a lot of Giants stuff. Like I mentioned, I mean, just there's no way anybody's going to get around them in this division.
no.
And they just, I mean, Glasnow is your middle of the rotation guy is pretty good. And then when I think people are kind of underestimating him because he's never really healthy, but when he gets healthy, he's got some of the best
When he
stuff.
gets, like, think about it this way. So I wish Julio Urias never did what he did, that we would be set for good. But
Oh.
he did what he did, so he ruined it. But anyways,
Would he
you
even
got
be in the rotation?
you got Yamamoto.
Yep.
So we're gonna skip 2024. We're gonna go to 2025. You got Shohei back. You got Yamamoto. You got Glasnow. Then you got Bueller. Then you got Dustin May
Yep.
when he comes back. That is unfair.
And
And we just signed the lefty. We signed a lefty too. Why am I blanking? Why am I blanking? One
Paxton, James
Paxton,
Paxton.
James Paxton. That's
Yep.
who it was. He was on the Mariners last year, huh?
Yeah,
Right.
he's been around.
Yeah. So you have James Paxton too. You have six guys that are legit starters.
And Walker Buehler is a guy that everybody's forgetting about. He's coming off Tommy John, and like
He's so good.
I had
He's
him as
so
my Cy
good.
Young pick like 2 years in a row. And now he's looking like he's gonna, he's people have wrote him off already, but I mean
I don't know how, but
yeah,
they
he's
did.
amazing. And I guess final thing before we go, I usually do this with a few people that come on. I give them like it's called the Final Five. I'm renaming it now. But I'm gonna ask you five questions. You don't have to answer them rapid fire. But some baseball, some not. But the first one is that if you were not a baseball player, what would Luke Hill be doing or trying to do or trying to get into?
Trying to get into. Could it be another sport or no?
Yes, screw it.
Honestly, if I wasn't playing a sport, I'd try to get into like some type of broadcasting reporting. I
Okay.
love that stuff. Love it. So
Hey,
I'd be doing
any
that.
tips you need, I'd be happy to help.
Yes, I need them.
Yes.
If
But
I don't, if baseball, this baseball doesn't thing doesn't work out, I want to do some reporting. So
perfect. Yeah, no, it's reporting is hey, that's why I'm not, I realized I wasn't good enough in baseball. They're in the low 70s and the PO
Yeah.
and it just wasn't working, but that's where we are
Hey,
now.
all right, look at you now. You're amazing. So,
Yeah. A few minutes ago, it's funny, you're like, I am no Ken Rosenthal, but number two, I heard that you are kind of a sneakerhead. So what's your go-to kicks right now?
okay.
What's
So
in style?
I wore my Travis Scotts today.
Okay.
If I How do I say? Okay, if I'm going to the airport and I had to wear one shoe to kind of like boast that I would wear, it's going to be either the Travis Scotts or my other favorite pair, Shout out. Probably the Chicago Lost and Founds, Jordan ones. I'm getting those into cleats this year.
Nice.
Hopefully I can wear them. But probably my most kind of exclusive pair of shoes I have is the UNC Off-White ones. I've put them on my feet one time. I don't plan on putting them on my feet for a while, unless I like it's like a very prestigious event that I know there will not be a single spot of dirt in the area. So yeah, I'm a really big sneakerhead, so those are my go-tos.
Yeah, me as someone that was a like a Nike Free Run guy for like my entire life, like that was it. So I knew what I was gonna wear every day. I have no knowledge in that whatsoever. Question three, travel anywhere in the world, where are you going? You're gonna go Hawaii next Friday.
No, Hawaii's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
Hawaii's gonna be sick. Two places.
Okay.
But they both have to be okay. I think one place is like Bowie Bowie. It's like a really nice like beach area. But I also could go to Vegas to watch a UFC event. That is like my
Okay.
dream. I wanna go to a UFC fight so bad, and go, but Vegas is only if there's a UFC fight there. So those are my two
No other
places.
reason to go to Vegas.
No other reason to go to Vegas.
Yeah. Okay, I like that answer. Number four, you mentioned that you need some of that alone time. You kick the feet up, get some popcorn. What's the go-to Netflix show right now? Or I guess any TV binge-worthy show that
Okay.
you've been watching?
So I just finished Friday Night Lights, fire.
Iconic show.
Iconic, electric. Terrible ending the show, in my opinion. I think they could have gone for a while, but stuff happens. My binge watching show is called The Blacklist. It's a show that premiered on NBC. James Spader's the main guy, Raymond Reddington. It's like an FBI type mystery type thing, and there's a really good backstory behind it as well. Like for me, like I like the FBI stuff like that. That's another thing. If I wasn't playing baseball, I probably want to be a detective. But if I wasn't like, if I'm like watching a show, I wanted to have like a really good like main point with like the mystery stuff, and then the backstory is also really good and it has that perfect mix. So
Have
that's
you
my
gotten into Breaking Bad?
No, I haven't. I've tried to watch one episode, but I always go back to Blacklist. I need to start the Blacklist though. Season 10 has dropped, but I'm waiting to watch all of it on Netflix. So after that, I'm gonna be like out of shows. So I'm just gonna go watch Breaking Bad probably.
Yes, highly recommend. And then right after that, Better Call Saul. So it's like you go
Better
right
Call
into the
Saul. All
next
right.
series.
All right,
Breaking
sounds
Bad,
good.
then Better Call Saul.
All right, I'll do it.
Final question, big
Cool.
picture stuff. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Okay. Praying, hopefully it's on the Dodgers. That'd be pretty cool. But I think I see myself more so as I think I'll be somewhere in the professional baseball landscape. If I'm not playing baseball, I think I'll be involved with it somehow. And I think I'll be married with hopefully my first kid by then. Have my life kind of under my feet. I value kind of like my life, like my personal life as well as much as I do my baseball life. I don't mean that in a I love baseball, but I also like having my personal life. And 10 years, hopefully, I'm playing baseball professionally with wife and kids. So that's kind of, I think that's where I see myself in 10 years.
Really awesome. Luke, man, I appreciate the time. This was really cool and definitely looking forward to seeing your success with Ole Miss this year and best of luck to you moving forward, man. Appreciate you coming
Yeah.
on.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
And everybody can go ahead and follow Luke on Instagram at LukeHill1 underscore. Go check him out. He's also got a website, LukeHill7.com, which was a big help to me figuring out all your pledges that you made, which is pretty cool. And he's on Twitter too. I don't have the handle for Twitter, but you know.
It's Luke underscore Hill 22. It's
Okay.
pretty
Okay.
simple.
There we go. So we got the different handles there. And of course, podcast is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast, YouTube, and go ahead and check us out. Rate us a review, do all that fun stuff, Instagram, Twitter, and we will see you next time.